So we're on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. We're up to the seventh line, by the right after the two dots. Yeah, and where it says Tana Rabbanan, Nachri Shehidlik Mi Yisrael, VYisrael Shehidlik Mi Nachri Mevarchen Alav, but Nachri Mi Nachri in Mevarchen Alav. This is going back to what we spoke about a little bit yesterday, which is that in order to recite Havdalah on a candle, the candle has to have spent Shabbos, which again we discussed at the end of the day yesterday, what exactly that means. So the Gemara makes the following distinction: if the candle belonged to a non-Jew but was lit by a Jew, or vice versa, then you can make Havdalah on that candle. But if the candle belonged to a non-Jew and was lit by a non-Jew, so then that's a problem. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Nachri Mi Nachri Delo, what's wrong with a candle that belongs to a non-Jew that was lit by another non-Jew? Why can't you make Havdalah on that? Presumably Mishum Delo Shabbos, because that candle did not quote unquote keep Shabbos. That candle it didn't experience Shabbos. But then the problem is, Ihachi Yisrael Mi Nachri Nami Halo Shabbos. The same problem should be true for a candle that belongs to a non-Jew that was lit by a Jew. It also didn't keep Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no. V'chi tema, maybe you'll tell me, Hach Isura Azalei V'ha Acharinahu V'yada Di Yisrael Kamis Yalda. The Gemara says, maybe the way that a flame works is that every moment the flame recreates itself. So when the flame was in the possession of the non-Jew, it was one entity. Now when it's in the possession of a Jew, it almost recreates itself, and now it's a completely different entity, and maybe that's why you can in fact make Havdalah on it. The Gemara says, but that's not true. Ela Hadisanya Hamotzi Shal Heves L'Rishus HaRabim Chayav. The halacha is, if a person carries out a flame on Shabbos into a Rishus HaRabim, he's chayav for Hotza'a on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Amai chayav, ma she'akar lo hiniach, u ma shehiniach lo akar. In order to be chayav for Hotza'a, this is going to be the beginning of Masechet Shabbos in a few weeks, right? The halacha is that the thing that you picked up, that you carried out, and the thing that you put down have to be the same object. So if the Gemara is assuming that a flame somehow recreates itself, so that's a different entity than the flame that you originally picked up. The fact that I'm still chayav for carrying a flame on Shabbos obviously means that it's the same entity. So you can't say that the flame kept Shabbos because it's actually the same exact flame. Gemara says, you're right. Ela liolam di isura nami ise. Really, the isur, the original flame, is still intact. V'chi kamevarech atosefta dehetera kamevarech. The bracha that you're making, the borei ma'ori ha'ish that you're reciting, is on the additional part of the flame that grew. That's the mutter part. In other words, the base part of the flame is the same flame that belonged to the non-Jew that didn't keep Shabbos, but the remainder, the additional part of the flame that grew, that's the part that you're reciting Havdalah on. So the Gemara says, ihachi, but if that's true, then nachri mi nachri nami. Then what's the issue with making a bracha on a candle that belonged to a non-Jew that was lit by a non-Jew? Just make the bracha on the additional part that grew after the initial flame was lit. The Gemara says, enochanami, you're right, that should have been mutter, but the problem is, gzeirah mishum nachri rishon v'amud rishon, Chazal made a gzeirah that they were afraid that if we let you make havdalah on a candle that was lit by a non-Jew and belonged to a non-Jew, so the next thing you know, you're going to make havdalah on a candle that just belonged to one non-Jew that wasn't lit by another non-Jew. In other words, it's a gzeirah because, let's say, only one non-Jew lit it, and it was just the initial flame. It wasn't a flame that grew later on. So because we want to prevent that from happening, Chazal even said, in other words, even in a case where a different non-Jew lights it and the flame grows later on, you still can't make it as a gzeira d'rabban unless you come to make it in a case where just one non-Jew lit the flame.
Is the candle have any type of kedusha once you go ahead and use it?
No, it doesn't have kedusha. It's just there's a din that you have to make havdalah on a candle that was shavas, right? That kept Shabbos, which again, we were trying to figure out what exactly that means. So now we're saying that technically you could have made havdalah on a candle that belongs to a non-Jew and was lit by a non-Jew. There's only this technicality that we're afraid that you're going to make havdalah, next week on a candle that was only lit by one non-Jew. That would be an issue. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Hayamahalich Chutz Lakrach. Let's say a person's walking outside of the city, V'ra'a Ur, and he sees a flame. So Imrov Nachrim Inu Mevarich, Imrov Yisrael Mevarich. It depends what the breakdown of the population is. So if the majority of people in the town are not Jewish, you can assume that this flame was lit by a non-Jew, and therefore you cannot recite Havdalah, because the flame probably didn't keep Shabbos. But if it's a majority Jewish place, then it's okay. So the Gemara says, Hagufakashia, that's an internal contradiction. Omar, you told me, Imrov Nachrim Inu Mevarich, HaMechza HaMechza Mevarich, right? The implication is that, I can't make Havdalah if the majority of the population is not Jewish, implying that if it's a 50-50 split, I can make Havdalah. But the problem is, V'hadar Tane, Imrov Yisrael Mevarich, HaMechza HaMechza Inu Mevarich. But the latter half of the statement implies the exact opposite, that if I have a 50-50 split, that I cannot make Havdalah on that flame. So the Gemara says, no. Bidinu Da'afilu Mechza HaMechza Nami Mevarich. Really, you can also recite Havdalah on a candle that comes from a town that's a 50-50 split between Jews and non-Jews. Va'aydei desan ereisha rov nachrim tana sefer rov Yisrael. The only reason why we use that expression rov Yisrael was just to parallel the lashon of rov nachrim in the first half, but it doesn't actually teach us anything. In other words, at the end of the day, if you have a city that's an exact 50-50 split, you can still recite that havdalah on a candle that comes from that city. Tana Rabbanan, Haya Mahalich Chutz LaKrach. Again, a person is walking outside of the city. V'ra'a Tinok, he sees a little kid. V'avuka Biyadu, the kid's holding a flame. Bodik Acharav, you have to inspect to see what the status of the kid is. Im Yisrael Hu Mevarich, Im Nachri Hu Eino Mevarich. It depends if the kid is Jewish. So asks the Gemara, my Iriya Tinok, Afilu Gadol Nami, why does it only have to be a kid? What if a 30-year-old is holding a flame? That should also be, you know, the same question, whether he's Jewish or not. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, no. Hacha B'Sabach L'Shkia Sachama Askina. We're talking about a case, this is like Mamish right after Shabbos ended. It's like 2 minutes after Shabbos. So Gadol Muchacha Milsa Devadei Nachriyu. If a 30-year-old is holding a flame 2 minutes after Shabbos, it's pretty unlikely that this person is Jewish. You know, how did he get a flame so soon after Shabbos? But Tinok, Ema Yisraelu, Ikri V'Nuket. If it's a kid, you could say, okay, you know, a Jewish kid came upon a candle right after Shabbos. So if the kid was 5, 6, 7 years old, so he wasn't, you know, so machped about waiting to the second Shabbos ended, so it's possible that, you know, a Jewish kid got his hands on a candle. Tana Rabbanan, Haya Mahalich Chutz LaKrach V'Ra'a Ur. Again, you see a flame, you see a light. Im Ava Kifiha Kivshan Mevarech Alav, V'Im Lav Einu Mevarech Alav. So the Gemara says it depends on how thick the light is, how thick the flame is. If it's as thick as the opening to a furnace, then you can make a bracha on it, but if not, then you can't. So the Gemara explains, Tani Chada, one brisa says, Or Shal Kivshan Mevarech Alav, V'San Yidach In Mevarech Alav. We have a contradiction between two brises. One brisa says you can make Havdalah on the flame that comes from a furnace, and the other Bryce says that you can't. Bryce says, Lo Kashia, Habitchila Halavisof. When you initially light the furnace, so the assumption is that the furnace is initially being lit to heat things up. So at that point, you cannot recite Havdalah on it. But by the end, once the flame is starting to die down a little bit and everything's already been heated up, then the only use that the flame has at that point is to provide light, which you can obviously use for Havdalah. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tani Chada, Or Shal Tanru Vishal Kirayim Mevarchen Alav, V'sani Yidach Im Mevarchen Alav. We have another contradiction between two Brysos. Can I recite Havdalah on the flame that's coming from a stove or an oven? So the Gemara says, No, Lo Kashia, Habitchila Halavisof. The same distinction. When I initially light the stove or the oven, so I'm using it to cook food. So at that point, I cannot recite Havdalah on it because I'm not using it for the purpose of benefiting from the light. Whereas at the end, when, you know, the flame is starting to die down already, so then I can make the bracha on that flame.
So
then,
if you have a comes into something like that, a bonfire.
Yeah.
Okay, right after, you know,
Shabbos.
They have said Havdalah. Okay, can you use that?
Can you make Havdalah on a bonfire? Is that what you're asking?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, technically, if it meets all the standards, again, there are certain halachas regarding what's called like an avuka, right? It has to be like a torch, but if it's a bonfire, it's for sure going to be like that. So yeah, I think you probably could, yeah. Okay, the Gemara says, Tani Chada, Or Shal Beis HaKnesses V'Shal Beis HaMedrash Mevarchen Alav V'San Yidach Im Mevarchen. Again, we have another contradiction between two brisos. Can you recite a Havdalah on a flame that was lit in a shul or in a Beis Medrash? So the Gemara says, Lo Kashia, Hadiika Adam Chashav, Hadaleika Adam Chashav. It depends if there's a prominent person in the shul. If there's a prominent person, the assumption is that it's being used for his benefit, for light, and then you can make a brach on it. There's no prominent person there, so then you're just lighting it for the sake of honoring the shul, which is not meant to provide light necessarily, and then you cannot recite a bracha. That's one answer. You can say both cases, there's a prominent person in the shul. The second answer is that it depends whether there's a, you know, the chazan here means like the guy who's like in charge of the shul, kind of like the gabbai. So in other words, if there's a person who's in charge of the upkeep of the shul and he stays in the shul and he needs the flame to help him see, you know, where things are, to put away siddurim or whatever it is, so then he's using that light for his own benefit, in which case you can recite Havdalah. But if there's no gabbai, you know, or person in shul who's cleaning the things up, so then obviously the candle is just for honor and you cannot make a bracha on that. That's answer number two. And then v'iba yaseima havadika chazana v'lokashi havadika sahara v'hadaleka sahara. The third answer is that it depends whether there's the light from the moon is streaming in. So if there's moonlight, then you don't really need the candle to provide light. And if you're lighting a candle anyway, that's just for honoring the shul, so you cannot make Havdalah. But if there's no moon out, so then the candle is obviously providing light, in which case you can make Havdalah on that candle. Okay, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Hayu Yoshvin Beis HaMedrash Veheviu Ur Lifneim. So you're sitting in the Beis Medrash and they bring out a light. So Beis Shammai Omrim Kol Echad V'Yachad Mevarech Li'atzmo Beis Hillel Omrim Echad Mevarech L'Chulan Mishum Shenemar Berovam Hadras Melech. Beis Shammai says every person should make their own individual Havdalah. Beis Hillel says no, you have to make one communal Havdalah because of the principle of Berovam Hadras Melech, right? We like to do mitzvot in a more public setting because it's considered more honorable to Hashem. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam Beis Hillel Mefarshei Taima Ela Beis Shammai Mai Taima. So Beis Hillel, we understand why one person makes it. because it's Berovam Hadras Melech. But why does Beis Shammai insist that everyone does it on their own? So the Gemara says, Kasavre may bittel Beis HaMedrash. Beis Shammai thought it was bittel Torah. To have one person get up and give a clop on the bima and, you know, stop everyone's learning, it's too much. Have everyone make their own Havdalah, it takes 2 seconds, and then go back to your learning. And the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hachi, Shal Beis Rabban Gamliel, Lo Hayu Omer Marpe Beis HaMedrash, Mnei Bittel Beis HaMedrash. In the Beis Medrash of Rabban Gamliel, they would not say, God bless you, they wouldn't say Gesundheit to a person who sneezed, because they consider that bittel Torah for the same reason. They said, if you're in the middle of learning, so you can't interrupt by saying, God bless you. Okay, then the Mishnah said, "Ein mevarchin lo al aner v'lo al besamim shel mesim." We also said that you're not allowed to make the bracha of bo reim ori ha'ish or besamim on a flame or besamim that was used for dead bodies. So the Gemara asks, "My time, huh? So ner l'chavod hu di'avida." So the candle is being used simply to honor the mace. So it's not being used to provide light. So you can't make so you can't make havdalah on that. And besamim la'avure richa hu di'avida. And the purpose of the besamim is to get rid of the odor that comes along with the dead body. So again, it's not being used to smell, but rather to get rid of a bad odor, so you also can't make a bracha on that. Exactly. You can't make a besamim on things that are just getting rid of bad odor. Yeah. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Kol she'motziyan lefanav biyomu v'alayla ein mevarchin alav, v'chol she'ein motziyan lefanav ela b'alayla mevarchin alav. It depends when you take the candle out with the dead body. So if you just, in other words, if you take the candle out both by day and by night, that's an indication that the candle is being used to honor the dead body, because otherwise you don't take a candle out by day to provide light. But if the candle is exclusively being taken out at night, that it's clearly there to provide light, in which case you can recite Havdalah on it. Amar Rav Huna, v'samim shel beis hakisei v'shemen ha'asru l'ha'aviras hazuama ein mevarchin alav. Again, if you have, you know, air freshener, you have Febreze, you have things that are just meant to get rid of a bad odor, or you have this like sweet smelling oil that's meant to remove some kind of a grease stain or something like that, you do not recite a bracha on those things because they're not actively there to smell, they're just getting rid of a bad odor. So asks the Gemara.
Candles you have in the bathroom.
Yeah. Correct. You cannot. Well, you're asking for besamim or for borei me'orei ha'ish, because. Yeah. Right now we're talking about besamim. Yeah, correct. If things that are just meant to provide to get rid of a bad smell, you cannot make besamim. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, Lememra decholhicha delav lericha avida lo mevarchin ilave. Does that mean to say that whenever you have something which is not actively meant to provide smell, that I cannot recite a bracha? The problem is, meisvei hanichnas lechanuso shel basam. If you enter into a spice store, veheiriach rech, and you start to, you know, smell the spices, afilu yashav sham kol hayom kulo eino mevarech ala pamachas. Even if you sit there the whole day smelling the spices, you would only recite one bracha, but nichnas v'yatsa mevarech al kol pam ufam. If you continue, you know, to enter and exit the store, you make a new bracha every time you enter the store. V'ha'acha delav l'recha hu di'avida v'kam mevarech. You're not continuously smelling for the sake of smelling. Once you smell the first time, you already got the benefit of the smell. So if I just sit there all day and I keep on smelling, or I keep going back and forth into the store and smelling, I'm not gaining anything extra, and yet I still have to make a bracha every single time. So you see that even though you're not actually smelling anything, or you're not gaining any extra smell, you still have to make a bracha. So the Gemara says, no, that's not true. In L'richa nami hu di'avida ki hechi denirchu inshe v'nezu v'nizbun minei, because the shopkeepers want you to smell because they want you to come back and buy more perfume, buy more spices. So it actually, the purpose of it actually is to get people into the store, and therefore that's why you make a bracha every time you go in, because you really are intending to smell every single time. Tana Rabbanan, hayimahalich chutz lakrach vehiriach rech. So again, you leave the city and you smell some, you know, kind of good smell. Imrov ovde kochavim enu mevarich. Imrov Yisrael mevarich. It depends on the population of the city. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says, no. Afilu rov Yisrael nami enu mevarich. Even if the majority of the city are Jewish, you don't make a bracha on the smell. Why not? Mipnei benos Yisrael mekatrus likshafim. The assumption was that there were Jewish women who were burning incense for the purpose of witchcraft. So the Gemara asks, atu kuli likshafim mekatrun. Havelim yuta likshafim. I'm sorry. So in other words, the Gemara asks, but are the majority of people burning incense for witchcraft? It sounds like it's a very small minority of people who are doing that, which would mean that the majority are burning for besamim. So if I smell it, the odds are I'm not smelling a witchcraft incense, I'm smelling a regular incense that I could make a bracha on. So the Gemara says, no. Havli miyuta likshafim, umiyuta nami legamer esakelim, ishtakach ruba delav l'richa avid, v'chol ruba delav l'richa avid lo mevarch. There are two minority groups in the city. There's one minority group that's burning incense for witchcraft. There's another minority group that's burning incense to make their clothing smell better, but those two minorities together combined to be a majority of people, when they burn incense, are not doing it for the purpose of smell. Now, the two groups are doing it for two different reasons, but at the end of the day, those two minority groups make up a majority, where at the end of the day, the majority of people in the city are not burning incense to smell. Some are burning for witchcraft, and some are burning to make their clothing smell better. So therefore, you cannot recite a bracha if you smell something from the city, because ultimately, the majority of people are not burning incense for the purpose of smelling it.
You make up Abdullah in a flower store. Use like roses as your
Well, you would have to probably make, you know, isve besamim or atze besamim, right? So Sfardim usually, right? So mine besamim. So Ashkenazim always say mine besamim and havdalah no matter what. Sfardim, I think, depending on the type of thing that they use for havdalah, that will determine whether they make. Because technically speaking, you're really supposed to make. Again, this was a discussion we had a little bit earlier in the sixth parak, where you know, again, depending on the thing that you're smelling, right? So you know, there's atze, there's isve, depending on if it's an herb, depending if it goes on a tree, on a bush. So that will determine what the bracha is. So for Ashkenazim, I think the post would say that just because it's too confusing for most people, we just make mine besamim and you know, just to make it simple. But in theory, yeah, if you walked into a flower shop, into a perfume store, we know whatever. To again, obviously. The smell would have to be based from something. It would have to come from some kind of a herb, a plant, or whatever it was.
Hey,
but yeah.
The roses and you go ahead, but
So
what about a synthetic smell?
What do you
like
mean?
Like perfume.
So if those things don't, if they're not rooted in a plant, in an herb, or something like that, then probably not. In other words, the assumption is that mine, atze, and isve are all coming from cloves, or coming from, you know, rosemary, from things that actually, you know, intrinsically provide smell. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hamahalich ba'arvi shabasos b'tiverio uv'motzoi shabasos b'tzipori ve'hiriach reach, enu mevarich, mipneshech eskasu enu asui, elu legamre bo'es hakelim. So if you walk the streets of Tiveria on Friday, or Tzipori on Motzei Shabbos, and you smell something, you don't make a bracha, because again, the assumption is that perfume is being used just to make their clothing smell better. Tana Rabbanan, hayamahalich bashuk shal avodah zara, nisratzel luhariach harei zachote. If you're walking in a marketplace of idol worshippers, and you want to smell the smell in the marketplace, you're called a sinner, because the assumption is those are being used for idol worship. So you can't go out of, again, if you happen to smell it as you walk by, that's different. But to go out of your way to smell such a smell is a problem. There are posts, by the way, we talk about this on Pesach. If you walk by a bakery on Pesach and you stop to smell the smell of chametz, so that could potentially be a problem also, right? And again, if you're just walking by and it happens to cross your nose, that's not a big deal. But if you like stop there for 10 minutes and just like, you know, inhale all the smell coming from the bakery, so that potentially could be a problem. It's not a avodah zara, but chametz is also asur b'hana, so it could be similar. Okay, so at top of Ambeis, we said ve'ein mevarchin al haner ad sheyayosu. We said in the Mishnah that you cannot recite Havdalah on a candle. You can't say borei me'orei ha'ish until you actually benefit, until you actually use the light of the candle. So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav lo yeyosu yeyosu mamish ela kol she'ilu omed bekarov u'mishtamish liora va'afilu berichuk makom v'chein Amar Rav Ashi berichuk makom shaninu. The Gemara says that the Mishnah never meant that you literally have to use the light of the candle. It just means you have to theoretically be able to use the light of the candle. You have to be within striking distance where you could at least see the flame. You don't have to be right next to it. You could be far away from it as long as you can still see it. So ask the Gemara Meisvei, Haysalo near Timuna Becheika or Befanas, if you had a candle that was either in your lap or it was in some kind of like an opaque, lamp. O Shara Shal Heves Velo Nishtamish Laora, or you saw a flame but you didn't use it. O Nishtamish Laora Velo Ra Shal Heves, or you used the flame but you didn't see the, I'm sorry, or you used the light but didn't see the flame. So then Eno Mevarech Achi Yira Shal Heves Vishtamish Laora. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to make a Bore Maore Ha'ish until you both see the flame and you also benefit from it. So the Gemara just clarifies. Bishlama mishtamish liora v'lo ra shall have it. So I understand the case where I can use the light of the flame without actually seeing it. Mishkachas the kaima b'keren zavis. If the flame is around the corner, so I can see the light reflecting from the other side without actually seeing the flame. But elo ra shall have it v'lo mishtamish liora hichi mishkachas la. What's the case where I use the flame? I'm sorry. What's the case where I see the flame but I don't use it? So the Gemara says lav demirachka. Isn't that a case where I'm far away? So doesn't that imply that I need to actually be by the flame and actually use it in order to recite Havdalah? Or it says, well, could go into Amyava Azla, the case is where the flame is starting to dim. In other words, I can see the flame, but I can't get much use from it anymore because it's basically almost extinguished. Okay, says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Kechalim lochashos mevarchen alayen, omemos ein mevarchen alayen. So if you have coals that are smoldering, you can make Havdalah on that, but if the coals are dimming, they're about to, they're about to be extinguished, you cannot recite Havdalah on that. So the Gemara asks, Hechi dami lochashos, what are considered smoldering coals? Amar Rav Chisda, kol she'ilu machnes lesochen kesam v'dolekes me'eleh. If I were to stick a chip of wood into the coals and it would ignite on its own without requiring me to fan the flames, so that's called smoldering. That's hot enough to enable me to make borim oreish on those coals.
So yeah. Shut the lights.
We'll see in a second that not everyone agrees with what we said before. That some we'll see in a second that Rava is going to say that you actually have to literally make use of the light for Havdalah, as we'll see in a second. Yeah. So the Gemara just wants to know Ibayaluhu omimos o omimos. What is the proper spelling of the word omimos, which again means coals that are dimming? This is a Gemara that appears in a few other places in Shas and Psachim and Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, where the Gemara is interested in the correct spelling of certain words. So the Gemara says Tashma Adam Rav Chista Bar Avdini. The pasuk in Yecheskel says Arazim lo amimuhu began alukim. The cedar trees are not going to be dimmed in the garden of Hashem. So there, the pasuk in Yecheskel uses the word amu with an ayin. The Rava Amar Yeyosu Mamish. So Rava disagrees with everything we said before. Rava says no. If you want to say Bori Maori Aish, you have to literally make use of the flame. You can't just be, you know, in other words, it can't just be visible to you. You actually have to use it. V'chama. So in other words, how close to the flame do you have to be to use it? Amar Ula Kadesha Yakir Ben Isar Lapundion. You have to be close enough where you could tell the difference between different kinds of coins in Isar and Apundion. And Chizkiya Amar, he says you have to even be closer. Kadesha Yakir Ben Meluzma Shel Tiveria Limeluzma Shel Tzipor. Those are the same type of currency, but they're used in different places, so they're slightly different. So those coins are much more similar to each other than Isar versus Apundion. So you would have to stand even closer to the flame to tell the difference between those two coins. The Gemara says Rav Yehuda Mevarich Adve Ada Dayala, Rav Mevarich Adve Guria Barchama, and Abaye. So all these Amoraim, you know, they would make Havdalah in this way, you know, in other words, right in front of the flame in the house of all of these different people. Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Ein Mechazrin Al Ha'ur, Kederach Shemechazrin Al HaMitzvah. So says Rav Yehuda, a person is not obligated to go out of their way to go find a flame or a candle for Havdalah the way that you would be obligated to go do other mitzvahs. So Amar Rav Zera, Mireish Hava Mahadarna. So initially I used to go out of my way to find a flame for Havdalah, but came into Shemana Lohada Rav Yehuda Amarav, Ananami Lo Mahadarna, Ela Imikla Lima Mila Mivarchi. So once I heard the statement of Rav Yehuda, so I also stopped going out of my way to find the flame. If I happened to have a flame, so I would make Bori Mori Aish. But if I didn't have one, so then I wouldn't, you know, trouble myself to go find one. Okay. Then we said Misha Achal. So we said this was a question about a person who ate and then left where they were eating and they forgot to bench or make a bracha achrona. So we had a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel whether they have to go back to the place where they ate. So the Gemara says Amar Rav Zvid v'Yisem Rav Dimi Bar Abba machlokas b'shachach avol b'mezid divrei hakol yachzer l'mekomu v'yavarich. So again, this machlokas about whether you go back to where you ate initially is only in a case where you forgot to make a bracha achrona or to bench b'shogig. If it was b'mezid, then even Beis Hillel agree that you have to go back to where you ate. So the Gemara says pshita v'shachach tana. The Mishnah says you forgot. So forgot implies that it was a b'shogeg. Obviously b'mezid, you'd have to go back and make a bracha. What's the chiddush? Mara says, no. Ma'u d'seima hu adin afilu b'mezid v'hai d'katane v'shachach l'hodiyach kochan d'vei shamai kamash malan. Because one might have argued that the usage of the word b'shachach was just to emphasize how machmir b'shamai is. In other words, that b'shamai says that even if it was b'shogeg, you have to go back to the original place and bench. But maybe really Beis Hillel would say that if it was b'mezid, you don't have to go back. So no, kamash malan, that Beis Hillel agreed that if it was b'mezid, you do in fact have to go back, and Beis Shammai disagrees in the case of shogeg. Says
Gemara, if you mevarech one place and you ate another place, you go back to the place that you said
you made a bracha, and the, meaning you made a bracha,
you made a bracha
and you ate
on one place, but you ate.
You're saying you took a bite of food here, and then you went somewhere else and ate the rest
you
of your meal.
That's
a complicated question because there that depends. In other words, it might depend on how much you ate in the first place. If you ate one bite and you ate the rest of your meal somewhere else, so then again, it also depends where that somewhere else is. If it's in the same house, then you probably can still bench wherever you are. If it's in a different house, that gets much more complicated. That's a whole topic of shinui makom. That's a gemara psachim about that. But you know that will depend on how much you ate in the first place, and you know how long your meal extended. So those are details that are more psachim oriented. But yeah, okay. And where it says Tanya, Amru lehem beisel leve shamai lidivreichem misha achal berosha bira v'shachach v'yarad v'lo birich yachzul berosha bira v'yavarich. So beisel turns to Beis Shammai and says, hey, let's say for example a person was eating on top of Har Abayis and then he finished eating, he comes down from Har Abayis and he forgot and he realizes they forgot to bench. So what, you're going to make the guy go back up there and bench again? So Beis Shammai says back to him, Amru lehem beisel leve shamai lidivreichem misha shachach arniki. If you would go back to go get your wallet that you left up there, then obviously you have to go back to bench, right? If you're going to go back because you want your money back, then you obviously have to go back to bench to Hashem. So the Gemara now is a very strange story. Hanu Trei Talmidei, there were these two students. Chad Oved B'Shogeg Kevei Shammai, V'Ashkach Arnika D'Dahava. There was one of the students forgot to bench where he was, but again, it was only B'Shogeg, and yet he still went back to bench like Beis Shammai, and because he went back to bench, he found a purse full of gold in it. But V'Chad Oved B'Mezid Kevei Silel, V'Achla Arya. The other guy, he purposely did a bench, and he still didn't go back to where he was supposed to go, which even Beis Silel says he had to do, and he got eaten by a lion as a result. Okay. The Gemara says,
What's halacha l'maaseh?
So again, if it's b'mezid, everybody agrees you have to go back. If it's b'shogeg, so we pass on like Beis Hillel, make it right. Again, if you want to find a purse full of gold, then maybe you can go follow Beis Shammai. Okay. Gemara says, Rabba bar bar chana have a ka'azel b'shayra. So Rabba was traveling in a caravan. So achal v'ishtalev lo barach, he ate, and then he realized that he forgot to bench. So Amr, he said to himself, hichi yavid, what should I do? If I tell the people in the caravan that I forgot to bench. So Amrili, they tell me, Baruch, kol hecha de mevareches, lo rachmana mevareches. They say, just bench over here, because God is everywhere. You can bench, you know, wherever. So it doesn't matter. So he said, mutav di amina lu anshayona de David. I'm better off telling them I forgot a golden dove. Because this way, at least, you know, they'll, you know, I'll convince them to go back. So Amr Lehu, he said, Anteruli, wait for me, the anshayona de dava, because I forgot my golden dove back over there. So Azilu Baruch, so he went back to bench, v'ashkach yona de dava, and lo and behold, he found a golden dove. So Gemara asks, Umayishna yona, how come specifically a dove? Gemara says, Demesile Knesset Israel Yona, we know from other Gemaras, right, that Bnei Yisrael compared to a dove, the Chesed, it says in Tehillim, Kanfe yona nechba bekesev evrosev biarak rak charutz, that the wings of a dove are coated with silver, and its limbs are this, like, green, this, you know, this greenish color. So Mayona ain't any sola sela bichnafeha, af Yisrael ain't any tzona ela b'mitzvah. Just as a dove can only protect itself by beating its wings and defending itself, so too Bnei Yisrael are only protected through their mitzvahs. Okay. Then we said, ad ema sahu, right, the Mishnah was discussing, in other words, how long do you have to bench after you eat? So the Gemara asks, kama shir iko, what's considered the amount of time of digestion that we allow you to still bench after eating? So Amar Rav Yochanan, kol zman she'eino raiv, as long as you are not yet hungry since the last time you ate, then you can still bench. The Reish Lakish Amar, kol zman she'yitzma machmas achilaso, as long as you're still thirsty because of the last time that you ate. So Amar le Rav Yemar bar Shlemi olamar zutra, v'amri le Rav Yemar bar Shizvi olamar zutra, mi Amar Reish Lakish achi. Did Reish Lakish really say that I can bench as long as I'm still thirsty from the last time that I ate? V'ha'amar Rav Ami Amar Reish Lakish, kama shir equal k'day lahalich arba milin. Reish Lakish said, how long is the shir for digestion? It's the amount of time that it takes to walk 4 mil, which the Gemara is assuming is a lot longer than the time that it takes from, you know, from when you were thirsty since the last time you ate. Mar says, lo kashya kan b'achila meruba kan b'achila muetis. It depends on the quantity of food that you eat. If you eat a lot, so then you have to wait the shear of 4 mil before, in other words, that's the amount of time that you have to bench. But if you wait a little bit, so then it's just until you're no longer thirsty since the last time you ate.
Yeah. Someone wants to say 72 minutes.
72 minutes is what we usually assume is the shear equal. That's what we usually assume is the amount of time that it takes for food to digest. The Gemara doesn't give that number explicitly, but yeah, that's usually what we assume. Okay. Yeah.
But there's the food and there's food. Meat takes more time.
That's true. I mean, I think it's hard to know, you know, the difference between different kinds of foods, exactly how long it takes to digest. I think 72 minutes is usually given as like a, as kind of like a, you know, a general overarching number, because again, I mean, I don't know if everyone would know exactly, you know, okay, you're right, certain foods digest faster than others, but like, I don't know if you could put a number on every single food. So I think 72 is kind of just like a flat number, like an overarching number that we give in general for digestion.
But you could have like a kazayas at like 71 minutes, okay, and then you'll have another 72 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, in theory. Now, well, also you have to be careful because, again, in theory, if let's say it's been, I don't know, 65 minutes, but you're now starving, or now you're no longer thirsty, again, depending on which opinion you're following. So now, in theory, maybe you're no longer, maybe you can't bench anymore, potentially.
Well, Shabbos starts really early.
Yeah.
What happens is, when we're ready for dinner, we have just like fish and soup. Okay, but we're not going to have,
your own
dinner at 5:30, 6 o'clock. Okay. So we wait till, like, you know, we stop. Then we wait till about 7, you know, to go an hour. Okay. Then we have our meal.
Well, an hour is fine. I mean, listen. If you want to be really machbid, I would say, like, you know, to make sure that you're not hungry again since the last time, maybe just like eat like a little something like before. Okay. Like that's what I would suggest. Okay. Fine. So then we said, so remember, this was talking about the fact that if a Yisrael makes a bracha, you only have to hear the end of the bracha to answer amen. But if a kusi makes a bracha, you have to hear the whole bracha. So the Gemara asks, lememra di Yisrael afa gav lo shama kula bracha ona v'chi lo shama hechi nafik. How could you possibly respond amen to a bracha of a Jew that you didn't hear the whole bracha? How could he possibly be yotze with such a bracha? So the Gemara says, you're right. Amra chia barav b'shalo achalimahen v'chi namar av nachman amar av baravua b'shalo achalimahen. In other words, you're not trying to be yotze with this guy's bracha. In other words, you're just answering amen. You didn't eat with them. You're just you happened to hear a bracha. You heard the last word. You're Baruch Atah Hashem Azon Esakol. So you're not trying to be yotzi benching. You didn't eat with them. You're just answering amen to a bracha.
But doesn't this fall into the category we read a few pages before? You know, that certain amens, you know.
No, that was talking about let's say answering amen too quickly or answering amen, you know, too late. No. So again, because here you're not trying to be yotze with the bracha, right? In other words, if you're trying to be yotze with the bracha, then you would have to hear the whole thing in order to respond amen and be yotze. If I'm walking by someone, I hear him say the words Baruch Atah Hashem Azon Esakol, I'm allowed to answer amen, even though I didn't eat with him. Okay, I can still answer amen to that. Okay, so the Gemara says Amar le Rav l'chia berei bri chatofu barich v'chinam Rav Huna l'Rabba berei chatofu barich. So both of these Amorim told their sons to chatofu barich, to jump on the opportunity to make sure that you bench. In other words, basically, when the balabais extends to you the kos shel bracha, you should basically jump on the opportunity to be able to lead the bench. So the Gemara asks, "Lememra de mevarich adif miman de ani." Amen. Does that mean to say that the guy who's making the bracha is better than those who are responding? I mean, meaning the fact that these amoraim are telling their kids to go and lead the benching sounds like the guy making the bracha is better off than the person answering amen. The problem is Hasanya Rabbi Yosi Omer gadol ha'ona amen Yosef and hamevarich. We know that the person who responds amen is in fact greater than the one making the bracha. So why didn't the amoraim tell their kids to not bench and just answer amen, which is even better than the bracha? So Amar le Rav Nehorai hashamayim kenu. In other words, he took a shvua. He said it's 100% true that answering amen is more significant than the bracha. And he says Teda, I'll prove it to you. Shahare guliyarin yordinu miskar b'melchama v'giborim. He says, how does a war work? So you have all of like the soldiers go down, they basically clear the field, and then all the powerful guys come in afterwards and take all the credit. So he says that's the equivalent. He says that the bracha are like the soldiers who are clearing the field, and the amen is like the king coming in and taking all the credit at the end. So he says that's why you see that amen is more significant than the bracha itself. So the Gemara says no, Tanai, it's really a machlokes Tanayim, which is more significant. The Sanya echad hamivarich v'echad ha'ona amen b'mashma elashem emaharin lemivarich yoser min ha'ona. I mean, the Gemara is discussing a pasuk from Sefer Nehemiah. The pasuk in Nehemiah says, "Kumu barchu," and then it says, "V'yivarchu shem kvodecha." So the Gemara wants to know, well, what type of person is considered one who stands up and blesses Hashem? So this brisa says that both the guy saying the bracha and the guy answering amen are both considered to be mevarchim. They're both considered, blessing Hashem. The only thing is that the guy answering amen, is going to be answered more efficiently or more quickly than the person making the bracha. Okay, says the Gemara, "Bayi minei Shmuel meiraf mahu lanus amen." Are you allowed to respond amen to a school child who's saying a bracha? So Amar Lei, Achar Hakol Onin Amen, Chutz Mi Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban, Ho'olu L'Hislamid Asuin. You can respond amen to anyone's bracha except for a school child, because when the school child is saying the bracha, he's only doing so for the purposes of learning. I believe Gemara says, V'hani Mile B'delo Idan Miftarayu, Avo B'Idan Miftarayu Onin. But if the kid is actually saying a bracha for let's say for the purposes of reciting the Haftorah, so then that's okay. In fact, again, we don't usually do this as much today, but I know 100 years ago, this was more common, where you would have kids who were not bar mitzvah yet reciting the Haftorah with the brachos. Technically, you can answer amen to that, but to regular brachos that are made by school children, again, for the purpose of just teaching learning, so the Gemara says, then you're not supposed to respond amen to those brachos. Okay, says Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Shemen ma'akev es habracha divrei Rabbi Zilai, Rabbi Zivai omer eino ma'akev, Rabbi Acha omer shemen tov ma'akev. So the Gemara has a three-way machlokas here regarding whether oil, in other words, again, this is talking about sweet-smelling perfume type of oil, is that ma'akev? The Gemara is equating this almost like mayim achronim. So according to Rabbi Zilai, if you don't wash with this oil, so then you can't bench. According to Rabbi Zivai, it's not ma'akev. According to Rabbi Acha, only if the oil smells good, then it's ma'akev. Rabbi Zuhumai omer, kishim shemizu am possibly have. Just as the Gemara B'choro says that a Kohen who's filthy, a Kohen who's disheveled, who's not put together, is not allowed to do avod in the Beis HaMikdash, so if your hands are dirty and greasy, you also cannot bench. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Ana lo zilai v'lo zivai v'lo zuhamayadana. He was kind of like making fun of their names. He's saying, I don't know about any of these statements from these Amoraim, but Elamas Nisa Yadana, I know what it says in the Braisa. The Amr of Yehuda Marav, Amr Lab Mas Nisa Tana, Vihis Kadishtem, Elumayim Rishonim. That word in the Pasuk means that you have to wash Netilas Yadayim. Vihisim Kadoshim, Elumayim Achron. That means you have to wash after the meal. Ki Kadosh Zeshemen, and then Ani Hashem Elokechem Zo Bracha. So that bracha follows after you wash your hands with oil. So this Braisa seems to indicate that you have to wash with oil in order to be able to bench. Hajar Alach, Elu Devarim.